news and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump issues his first veto overruling Congress to protect his emergency declaration for border wall funding.
I will be signing and issuing a formal veto of this reckless resolution, and that's what it was. And I have to in particular thank the Republican strong, wonderful people, the Republican senators that were on our side and on the side of border security.
Former FBI Joint Task Force member Steve Rogers tells Fox News, if you see something, say something, after the terrorist shooting that took place at a New Zealand mosque, injuring 40 people and killing 49 others.
It's incidents like this that will trigger those on the edge that will attempt to copycat this horrific act. So saying that, law enforcement worldwide, not only here in America, but worldwide, they have databanks of people that they are watching, that they're looking at, that they're surveilling.
This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month. Not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Two Facebook executives are leaving the company. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Facebook is down two key executives amid its privacy and encryption push. Chief Product Officer Chris Cox and WhatsApp head Chris Daniels both leaving Facebook. The two are longtime Facebook veterans, described as trusted lieutenants of Mark Zuckerberg, the founder. Their departure is coming a week after the company announced sweeping changes so as to refocus the social network and improve its security and privacy.
The NFL is suspending Cleveland Browns running back Kareem Hunt for 8 games. Videos surfaced of the then Kansas City Chief shoving a woman in the hallway of his downtown Cleveland apartment back in February of 2017. This is in addition to a physical fight Hunt was involved in at an Ohio resort back in June of 2018. Hunt's agent says he will not be appealing the suspension. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
Through technology embedded in most every major tech platform and every web-enabled device, algorithms and artificial intelligence are what underlie a lot of the staggering number of decisions that we make on a daily basis, from the products we buy to what we eat to what we even watch on Netflix. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Professor Karthik Hosanagar, and one of the things he studied and talks about is how algorithms can help us with jobs, but they can also hurt us when it comes to finding a job based on all the keywords you have to get through first before you even get to an actual human who looks at your resume.
You apply for a job, based an algorithm is looking at certain keywords, and then there's this game, what are the right keywords that will make sure the algorithm picks up my resume and shows it to a recruiter or shortlist me. So there's these kinds of concerns. If we look at problems such as, let's say, bias, whether it's gender bias, race bias, age bias, or what have you, these kinds of biases come often from data. So people ask me, is it that the engineer who coded it is kind of programmed in some bias? And while that can happen, it's highly unlikely and very rare that a human programmer has coded in the bias. But what is often happening is that we're going towards artificial intelligence and we're asking these systems to learn on their own how best to screen applications.
Please remember, you can always find us online at usaradio.com and on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, folks. We're here this afternoon with, of course, the sports guys. And let me just talk about the weather quickly, and then we'll get to the fact that we have a guest, and Bill Wolfson will introduce her. Her name is Carol Harris, and we're looking forward to talking to Carol this afternoon. But I wanted to tell you about the weather. I think we had my prediction for this afternoon, thankfully, didn't come true, because there supposedly was a 50% chance of showers. At least before I got to the radio station, it was nice, bright, and sunny, and very warm. Tonight, they are predicting about a 40% chance of showers, and then mostly clear. And this looks like the weekend that Bill would say, get off your couch, because on Saturday, it's going to be sunny, high of about 47 degrees, and again, Sunday, sunny, high of about 43 degrees. And when was the last time we had two sunny weekend days? Of course, most of us may have to go out and look at our lawns and see that it's not, maybe sunny out, but it's not looking too good. But anyway, that's going to be a great forecast for this weekend. And Bill, would you like to introduce our guest?
Good afternoon, Hunterdon. At 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. And with me today is Carol Harris of Go Hunterdon, ready to talk about Bike Hunterdon and all the great bike trails we have here in Hunterdon County with our undiscovered jewels and their special event, Bike Week, which is Bike to Work Week, May 13th to 17th. Good afternoon, Carol, and thanks for coming on and joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Carol, tell us about your organization, Go Hunterdon. What's the purpose of the organization?
So Go Hunterdon promotes sustainable transportation. So that could mean anything other than getting in your car and getting stuck in traffic on Route 78 on your way to or from work. So we promote bicycle commuting, we promote taking public transportation. Pretty much, if we can help you not be alone in your vehicle, so it could also include carpooling, vanpooling, ways to really take transportation and make it sustainable.
Well, one of the big problems we have here in Hunterdon County is the total absence of public transportation except for the bus that the county runs. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. A lot of people who live and work in our smaller towns and villages, especially the river towns, if they don't have a car because perhaps they don't have the income or they don't have the way of getting a ride, or perhaps because of some problem they don't have a driver's license, they're pretty much stuck as to where they can work and how they can run their errands or see a doctor or take care of things in life. So I know that organizations like Go Hunterdon are very important, because this is not Manhattan or Newark where you can get on the subway or the bus. But let's talk about Bike Hunterdon. I'm not a bike owner at the present time, but I plan on being. I know that you're the bike specialist. So let's talk about Bike Hunterdon and what's its purpose.
So Bike Hunterdon is sort of an umbrella, and what we try to do is reach out into the communities and let people know that riding a bicycle in Hunterdon County is one of the most fabulous things that you can do for your health. for your families. So what we do on our website is we list a number of road rides that we think families would enjoy, individuals would enjoy. We also offer mountain bike rides that you can take a look at, as well as trails and paths. Very, you know, family friendly. But our idea is to promote bicycling in the county and to let people know about the various parks, the various routes, and the ways that you can see some amazing scenery here in this county.
Well, Bill, you might be surprised, but, you know, I live right near Round Valley Reservoir, and it is amazing to me the number of people that will be riding. In fact, it's a huge hill. I don't know how they do it. I'm not sure I could, you know, easily, you know, well, I could walk up the hill, but it would not be easy.
We call them gears, Pat.
But the number of people, I mean, this is, and not only for people here, but people from around the area. The other thing that I was amazed, if you ever spend any time in Califon, and I think that trail might be very interesting to talk about, because I was in Califon one day, really just standing talking to somebody, and I was amazed at the number of people that were on that trail.
Very true. That's called the Columbia Trail.
Right.
The Hunterdon County Parks does maintain that trail. Depending on where you want to begin, but most people in Hunterdon County will go up to Highbridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's really good municipal parking, and you can take that trail beyond Califon as well. It actually goes all the way up into Morris County. Califon is about 5-6 miles in. Next sort of big stop where there's things to do would be up in Long Valley. But there's also a trailhead and a stop in Middle Valley as well. It's absolutely beautiful. It's up over the Ken Lockwood Gorge, which you can also walk or take your bike down there. There's a trail that lets you see the fly fishermen up close and personal. It's right along the water. Beautiful riding. Absolutely gorgeous.
Well,
I've hiked the Lockwood Gorge Trail, but I've never bike ridden there. I can tell you it's lovely.
It's beautiful.
I've also fished there as a kid, and it's nice. The very neat thing about Califon is, they were talking about biking, is there's a bed and breakfast, there's that fishing big tackle shop.
Mm-hmm.
They have, and the beautiful thing about Califon is they have restored a stretch of the Musconetcon River.
Yes, yes.
To make it trout heaven.
Yes.
And they do that in cooperation with Rutgers and the fish and game people here in New Jersey. It's really something that's worth seeing, but I think it can only be appreciated to its full extent on a bike.
Well, I think, you know, my perspective is not everybody wants to ride a bike, so as long as it's accessible by bike so that, you know, those who want to ride can, but also accessible for people who want to hike it, who want to walk. You know, just being outside is a healthy endeavor.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I want us to welcome our third compadre, the third sports guy, John Manfreda. We're talking about biking. So maybe as you're getting older, which you are,
well, by definition, Pat, we're all getting older. Good afternoon, everybody. And now the program can really begin. Yes, I do enjoy biking. And good afternoon, everybody. And I thought we were going to be talking about football today and the Giants. But maybe you'll get to that in the second half of the show.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm sick of football.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you're an Eagle fan, you might be.
Yeah.
So I get that.
But moving right along, we're talking about bike riding, and John is...
I do a little bit of bike riding.
Yeah, but John is a tennis player by nature, but John is probably somebody who wants to get involved in another sport. And
as he's getting older...
I'm not sure what that reference is. I'm getting wiser, but I don't know about older, you know?
I don't know about the wiser. But moving right along.
I don't get no respect, you know, somehow.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield.
Uh-huh. I was just thinking that.
One of my favorite rides.
See, Carol, you didn't know what you were getting into. You
no.
thought this nice
you thought it was the sports guys. It's the sports characters, you know? And we can deal with that.
But moving right along, folks, one of my favorite rides has always been the ride along the canal from Lambertville up to Stockton and then over the walking bridge to Lumberville.
Mm-hmm.
And That's probably a long, skinny state park.
It is.
And I think of that as very varied because there's times where you're going through a small town or village like Lambertville or Stockton.
Right.
So there are places to stop, walk, you need to get a drink of water, or you need a break, you want to sit down. But also, there's long 2 or 3 mile stretches that are beautifully shaded. The trees just arc over. So even in August, you have a nice cool ride.
It's true. I mean, and the beautiful thing about the Delaware Raritan Canal towpath is that you can really stay on it for 60 miles. And people don't realize.
Wow.
You can start in Frenchtown, and you can end up, it sort of veers off, but you can end up in Trenton. And then come back. You can go to New Brunswick. It really is quite a long, beautiful trail that you can see very varied scenery and get a beautiful day's ride in. Absolutely gorgeous.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
About that? First of all, I was concerned about size, but why is it called a towpath? I've always wondered that.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
No, you haven't talked about
girl, please tell us the
story. I'm not so sure I know this. Please help me.
I apologize for exposing that.
Well,
but
I know the answer to that question.
Well, amazing things have happened. Bill, please enlighten us.
Okay. Back in 1821, the United States government decided that they wanted lots of canals and along rivers that weren't necessarily navigable by ships or boats.
Right.
So what they did was they dug canals. And along the side of the canal was a towpath so that you could harness a horse or a mule, which was usually the case, and the mule or mules, plural, would pull.
Yeah, that's what happened. The towpath.
That's what happened.
I obviously get it's a path.
Yeah, but it was a
path. But where does the term tow come from?
Well, because...
The mule is towing the
boat. Oh, T-O-W.
Yeah.
Here I'm thinking walking, biking, feet, T-O-E.
No, it's T-O-W.
T-O-W.
Okay.
Now
so
it makes sense.
They were pulling, and
they were towing.
Amazing thing is they have one here on both sides of the river.
They do.
Which, you know, and if you got my historian husband on, but that's another story. What I'm interested in, Carol, is to tell us a little bit about how people who might be interested in Go Hunterdom might get involved.
So especially since Bike to Work Week is coming up in May, one of the things that I...
Well, lots of luck for most of us who live in Hunterdon, by the way.
What do you mean?
Bike to work. Actually, I probably could, but...
In truth, people think that it's very difficult to bike to and from a location. In fact, it's one of the easiest things to overcome obstacles. So if you think that you're too far away, for example, let's say you have a 20-mile commute... You don't have to bike all 20 miles. You can drive to a safe location, leave your car, get on your bike, ride the rest of the way, then come back to your vehicle at the end of the day. Lots of people do that as an option. Also, what people don't realize is when you think about a bicycle commute and you're thinking about going to work, you're thinking about the way in which your car goes to work. The back roads here in Hunterdon County are beautiful, they're quiet, and maybe it'll add a few miles onto your commute, but you're going to arrive a whole lot happier than having sat in traffic to get to your job.
You know, I agree, but I have to say that after having lived on the back roads in both Hunterdon and Mercer, and my husband used to ride a bike, meaning a bike and then a motorcycle, but a bike, for over 10 miles, and it was to get to work. It was very dangerous. I mean, I always worried because the only way he could go were on some of these narrow back roads. And the problem that I saw is that drivers they really don't watch out for bikes.
You know, it's really true, and there are ways that cyclists can mitigate that. One of the things that's very, very important is if you are using your bike, whether for recreation or for transportation, you should always have front and rear blinking lights.
I agree, and thank you for that suggestion.
Yeah. Good idea.
And you're going to make a second suggestion that I know saved a client of mine and her life, and that's wearing a helmet.
Well, absolutely. I think that if you're going to be out on the road, a helmet may not save your life. It's very true, but it certainly will help. You know, that's your brain. You want it protected. So depend, you know, we don't like to think about what kind of collisions we're going to have there out there, but there's a lot that you can do. Wear a helmet. Use front and rear flashing lights. Make sure that you are extremely visible. So if it's daytime, you should be wearing bright colored clothing. If it's nighttime, you should be wearing reflective wear. On your feet, you should have bright yellow socks, because as you're pedaling, that movement brings that movement to the attention of the driver. But the rear blinking light, the good kind, the kind that you can be seen from quite a distance, is really the number one safety feature for a bicycle commuter or someone riding for recreation, because most of the time you can be seen up to a half a mile to a mile away, and that catches the attention of the motorist. It's a very important piece of gear that every rider should use. And since the beginnings of using those types of lights, collisions with motorists has gone down 38%.
And are these things available locally?
They're available at any bike store. You can get them online as well. But I always think it's important to go visit your local bike store, because you want to create a relationship. You want to make sure that you're getting the proper equipment, and they're the experts. So it's really good to have someone to speak to about what would be appropriate for the type of bike that you have.
And what about for families that want to get their kids involved in biking? What do you suggest? I mean, when I grew up in the Midwest, we all had bikes, mm-hmm. and we rode them. You know, I mean, it was not at all unusual to ride 5 or 6 miles a day. I don't know if that's as popular. I don't see many kids in this area on bikes. What should people do to encourage their children?
I think what happens is a lot of times parents don't want the kids riding in the neighborhoods. But as somebody who is out there quite a bit, I do see families on the towpath a good amount. I think that people are now driving to a location with their families to participate in cycling, just because it's off the road, it's a little bit safer for the children. But the number one thing that I have to say about families riding is, parents, please wear a helmet, because even though by law you do not have to, you're teaching your children that it's the right thing to do.
Well, that example is always
modeling
important.
Modeling behavior in every way.
Absolutely.
And we could go into this.
Of course, I'm from the school of do as I say, don't do what I do. Yeah. But I think we should rename these things TOE, toe pads, because you're using your toes to either walk or ride. So that's my contribution to this discussion.
Well,
and I have some news that may cheer up Bill Wolfson here, my colleague. This just in from Steinbrenner Stadium in Tampa, Florida. Boston 1, not enough. The Yankees 14. So it was a bad exhibition game, but I just looked at the box score, and there's one saving grace. Other than Andrew Benintendi, I don't recognize, and Rafael Devers, I don't recognize anybody in the Red Sox lineup. So, but 14-1, Bill, there you go. So,
well, John, I would gloat, but I gloat more over 27 world championships to your 3.
Well, actually, you never could count well, Bill. We have 9. That's
pardon
okay.
me.
And we didn't buy any. But go ahead.
But
moving
right along, I'm still licking my.
Look at that bankruptcy lawyer, and what does he do? He drops me from 9 to 3. Championship. What is that? The long arm, the strong arm statute of the trustee in bankruptcy, Bill, that just severed 6 championships from my team?
No, we call that a code section 506C cram down.
Yeah, oh, that cram down.
There you go.
Okay, well, Bill, I think you have to cram that bankruptcy stuff down. Yeah,
it is the weekend, although I do have 4 people to see tomorrow.
And here we are embarrassing ourselves in front of Carol, who thinks we're these eminently qualified lawyers, and we are, at least some of the time.
And I'm going to stop and play some spots and calm you two down for a
while. That would be.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please,
you're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back.
Hey,
and our
yeah.
guest today is Carol Harris, and she's going to tell us about
bikes.
Bike to
and
work
bike,
week.
Bike to work week. Let's talk about bike to work week, Carol. Where did this idea come from?
So bike to work week is promoted through the League of American Bicyclists, which is a national organization. And Go Hunterdon every year sponsors an event with the nice help of community business owners who help sponsor it as well. The whole idea of it is to give you an opportunity if you've never biked to work before. It's a week-long event with a lot of support from us in terms of if you're going to a workplace and you're not sure the best route to take, we can suggest some tools that you can use to help find a very perhaps a route that you're comfortable with. It gives us riding buddies. People who might be going to the same place of employment could ride in together, as there is safety in numbers and it's nice to ride with somebody. The whole idea is to give it an opportunity to see if you like bike commuting, if you see it as a viable solution to some of the driving in a vehicle and the traffic, and sometimes, you know, it's a beautiful day and you're stuck in your car. So it's just another opportunity. It's good for your health. It's good for the environment. And it's just a nice way to get to work. I've been doing it now since 2005. I usually arrive to work with a smile on my face. You don't need a shower. You know, that's why I said that, because I was looking at your face.
Well, I mean, and I do remember my husband is a professor at the College of New Jersey, and somehow he did find, you know, this was a 10-mile ride, and more than that, possibly, but he did find somewhere to take a shower before he had to go to class.
Well, you
they
know what?
Called a gym.
Yeah, very often places of employment do have gyms. I know I've worked in places that did have a shower. Currently, Go Hunterdon does not have a shower, so I'm 16 miles away. My commute is 16 miles each way. What I typically do, will take a shower either the night before when I've come in from biking or first thing in the morning. I keep baby wipes at my desk. Once I cool off and kind of, you know, get relaxed, I just go into the bathroom, I change my clothes, I use baby wipes, and I'm good to go for the day. It really is not an issue at all. I think we make it into an issue. It's really not.
You know, that's interesting. There's so many tweaks around reasons not to do something. And one of the things I liked about the bike to work week idea and the whole concept of biking is that when you have an organization like this, they show you the ways around, so they can really provide a lot of leadership.
We can answer so many questions and help you overcome some of those obstacles. And, you know, it's not something that you have to do every single day of the week. You know, I didn't ride today. It's supposed to rain, so I didn't ride. You know, you don't have to make it into something much more complicated than it really is. You can choose a day. You might do it twice a week. You may end up driving your car with your bike in it to work, leave your car at your place of employment, ride home, next morning ride in, then take your car back and start all over again. You don't have to make it a big deal.
If you were going to advise someone who was going to take up biking, what would you recommend they do? Obviously, you're going to visit the bike shop, a good one.
Right.
You're going to talk about to the salespeople or the staff there what your budget is and what your plans are. But for somebody like myself, 67, physically active, who basically wants to get some exercise and occasionally ride to work, where do I start? What are the things I should think about in a comfortable bike? I mean, I know get a padded seat, things like that.
What are the basics that I'm going to need to get started?
I think the most important thing is to really think about how you plan on using that bike, because there are many, many different types of bikes. So, for example, if I'm riding 16 miles to and from, I want a road bike. I want to be able to move at a little quicker pace. I want a bike that maybe I could put a fatter width tire. And then it depends on, do I want to sit more upright? Do I want to be in a more aggressive position? That's all. Those are all the things you need to think about. You know, and there's a little bit of, I have to kind of chuckle about your description of a padded seat. Depending on how far you're going and the type of bike you're on, you may not want that padded seat. That could end up being very uncomfortable. It depends on the position that you're sitting in. So if you're on a road bike, you're leaning forward a little bit. If you're on a hybrid, you might be more upright. I also want to suggest to people, particularly in Hunterdon County, that if you're riding to work and, you know, you kind of feel like the hills are going to be too much, there's a brand new category of bikes called e-bikes. They're pedal assist bikes. So they're called e-bikes. They have a battery on them. They're battery assist. So you still have to pedal. But when you approach that hill, you can change your gear in such a way and create a setting that you get a little bit of a boost up that hill, so you're not working quite as hard.
That sounds good.
I've never heard of that.
It's really very nice, because especially too in the dead of the summer, when you don't want to arrive to work so sweaty, perhaps, you get there in practically half the time. So that's another possibility for the person who wants to use a bike as a commuter. But I think it's very important, too, that you have any kind of any thought about riding. I don't suggest you hop on the internet and just start, you know, scrolling through and looking at bikes. I think speaking to an expert, speaking to people who it's their business to know bikes, is really the way to go. You want to have a relationship with someone who can help you and guide you in your purchase of a bike.
What bike do you own?
Bikes. I ride what's called a Trek Silk. It's a women's specific road bike. It's carbon. It's very light. It has electronic shifting. It's a lot of fun. I'm not into cars. I put my money into my bikes. But that's my recreational bike. That's the bike, my go-to bike. I love to ride through Hunterdon and Bucks County. It's a great bike. It's beautiful. I also have a gravel bike, which is my commuter bike. It's called the Trek Checkpoint. I use that most of the time when I commute. It's aluminum frame. It has a rack on the back, fatter width tires, much more casual road bike style. And I also have a mountain bike. Not that I mountain bike often, but I do have one. And it's nice to have different bikes for different activities. The towpath requires a different bike than the road. You wouldn't take your road bike necessarily on the towpath. The tires are too narrow.
Right. I noticed that people will ride in Round Valley Reservoir, and they'll be using the
mountain bikes. The nice thing about Round Valley Reservoir, too, that I hope your listeners can think about, too, it really is a very technical mountain bike trail for very experienced riders, but there's also a section for beginners, for the novice rider. And every bit is beautiful and gives you the opportunity to enjoy the trail every bit as much as the person who's more experienced on the bike. There's something for everybody in all the parks, even on the roads, the trails. You can bike anywhere in this county, whether you're very experienced or brand new to the sport.
One of the things that I've always liked, and frankly the last bike trip that I took, was along an area called Cool Road, which is along, I believe it's the second Neshannock River. And so it runs basically from 20231 all the way to Rayville.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're going along farm country, you're going along a nice, wide, lazy-looking river. You cross the bridge a couple of times.
I know, yeah.
You're on the back side of a golf course, which you can kind of see every now and then. It's pretty. And I especially like making that ride like right around the middle of October when it's cool, the mm-hmm. leaves have changed, and for whatever reason, there's no wind. So it's a beautiful ride. What is your most challenging ride in Hunterdon County?
You know what? There are many roads in Hunterdon County that can be quite challenging. There are some very steep hills up in Bloomsbury, Tewksbury, very hilly. Right here in Hunterdon County, in Clinton, a number of them. But they can be avoided, too. There's a wonderful app that many riders use called RideWithGPS.com. And you can put in a route or look at other people's routes, and you can see the elevation. So before you head out, you kind of know what you're getting into first.
Are there any groups here in Hunterdon that go to other states or other countries riding?
Well, in Hunterdon County, there's the Western Jersey Wheelmen, and a lot of individuals do join bike groups that travel. There are many different travel organizations that strictly for bicycle tourism, but there isn't a group here that I'm aware of that work together to be able to go to another country or travel to other parts as a club necessarily. They may give you the information. They may share that information on their website or on their social media, but I'm not aware of any club that actually promotes that amongst their members.
Well, Bill, this is one of the things that I call the good addictions. I actually have a friend, at last count, she had been in 86 countries and
good for her.
Had ridden her bike in 86 countries. The last time I was in Guatemala, she and a friend rode bikes from California to Guatemala City.
Wow, that's a lot.
Which was...
That's 1,500 miles?
Well, probably more. And she did say, however, that some of the roads, because they had the big trucks, there aren't, you know, when you go on that Pan American Highway, some of it is pretty bad and with all the trucks. But she's just an amazing, and what I call her is an addict who has a good addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But so I do know that there are groups that do, you know, they get hooked on it and they go all over the world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, many cyclists ride across the country. They'll travel to another country and ride across that country.
She rode from the Pacific to the Atlantic
right.
and back again.
Mm-hmm.
That was
yeah.
just a small trip.
Yeah. Many people do that. You have to have the time.
Right.
That's one thing. But, yeah, there are many groups that will take you on any kind of bicycle tour you would like.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Carol.
Sure.
Are there, with regard to the road safety and so forth, are there some basic rules? For example, are bikes allowed anywhere except, for example, a highway, limited access highway? Or, for example, could a bike go on Route 31?
Yes, bikes are allowed on Route 31. There are some highways that do not permit bikes. I even think Route 202 in places say that you can't bring a bike on.
That's a tough
And I
road.
Would never recommend anybody taking those roads. Right. I mean, that to me is putting yourself in a great deal of danger. I think that when you choose a route, you want to look at quiet roads, roads with large shoulders, places where the roads are of good repair. You really want to make you want to think about it before you decide that you're going to just go in that way. You really want to do a little research and pay attention to what the roads are like.
Basically, that rule is that, as I understand it, that biking is permitted anywhere except where prohibited.
Right.
Would that be the
right.
default rule?
And I'm assuming that it's also like runners. I mean, I have a grandson who would run. But, you know, like he'd run Molasses Hill Road. But he had to be a little careful because
yeah.
there are a couple places
right.
where you can't see. And he'd run our road with that big hill. But again, you know, he'd have to wear the gear. He'd have to wear the lights. One of the questions that I have here is it necessary to have a bike license and at what age?
So there is no such thing as a bicycle license.
Really?
Really.
Only in New Jersey.
I don't know about that. I mean, I live in Pennsylvania, and I don't need a bicycle
I believe,
license.
As I when I grew up as a kid, I think my bike,
right.
in Massachusetts, I believe We had to register the bikes.
Yeah, here in New Jersey, that's not a law. You do not. You don't have to.
Don't say it too loud, because they'll think of another registration fee or tax.
Have to register your bike?
You do not.
Oh, God. I grew up in.
Maybe they haven't thought of that yet, Bill. And maybe.
Well, you know, in some countries, you register the bike so that you can be protected against theft. Another thing is, in some countries, you get a license, which is really a certificate that you've been trained in safety. And, you know, you start as an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old, and it's a good idea. But personally, I think this is the kind of thing that they should be teaching in school gym classes.
Which is what we do, actually. Go Hunterton through the Safe Routes to School program goes into the Hunterton County Schools, and we teach both bicycle and pedestrian safety.
Carol, are you familiar with a program called Pedals for Progress?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. That is a program sponsored by Rotary International. And what we do is we promote collection of bikes, and you take the pedals off so they can stack them better, and they put them in containers, and they ship them to third world countries, because if you give a bike to somebody in primarily Africa, African countries is where it's big, that makes a big difference in their lives. They can go, you know, 10, 20 miles a day on a bike and get to a job in the city and then bike back to the farm. Yeah, Pedals for Progress, you know, obviously they'll take cash donations too, but we, a couple of times a year, have an appeal to folks to contribute the bikes. And there's different clubs will take responsibility for that, and different persons within our district. But our district here, Rotary District 7470, has always been one of the leaders of Pedals for Progress. And, well, and the whole point, when this first was introduced about 20 years ago, it was kind of most of us thought, oh, we're just trying to get bikes to countries for kids because they can't afford to buy bikes. And that's not it. They view the bike as an economic instrument to make a living because they can get to work and
stuff. Well, or get to school. But since this is a sports program, you know my best bike story. You're not a football fan. Have you ever heard about what happens with kids' bikes in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Not a
group. Oh, well, you have to hear this. This is a tradition. It goes back for many years that the Packers.
Probably to the 1930s, actually.
Long time. What would happen is the Packers would have children would come, kids would come, and they would have a bike, and they would hope that a Packer would adopt their bike. And the Packer would ride their bike to the training field, because they go from one, oh, it was probably only the equivalent.
Quarter mile.
Yeah, about a quarter of a mile. But this has been, you know, a kid can't be prouder than if a Packer selects his or her bike. And, of course, they, you know, they put bigger tires on and they do all kinds of things, because you've got guys who are 250 pounds who are riding these bikes. But as a bike enthusiast, go online. I'm sure you'll see photographs. I mean, it is one of the most fun things.
What Pat is ignoring is the clause in most of the contracts now that prohibits football players from riding bicycles on anything other than stationary position in the gym.
Well, not in Green Bay.
Well, let's move back to something that I thought was interesting. I know this Bike Hunterdon has divided up a number of the road bike routes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have different criteria for different bikes. So you've created a resource for people who may be rookies, who may just want a nice flat surface to ride
yes.
on, or people who are a little more adventurous, perhaps in better shape, that want to do mountain biking. And how do you vet that? How do you figure out what to do with these trails and with these routes?
So one of the nice things is, as an enthusiast, I've ridden a lot of these areas. Also, the Parks Department here in Hunterton County has a tremendous resource about their trails. So anybody can really go online and take a look at what the parks have to offer. We just took that information and we put it on our Bike Hunterton page so that all that information is located in one spot. So when you look at road rides, there's a very clear description of what that ride is going to be like. It also, if you take the link over to Ride with GPS to see the map, you'll also see all the tourism aspects. You'll see where to stop for coffee. If you're coming from out of town, what B&B or hotel you might want to stay at, what restaurant you might like to have dinner at. So we try to give Hunterton County Tourism information to those cyclists as well, so they know what businesses are bicycle friendly, where they might be welcomed, where they might be able to spend some time and spend some money. So the routes are divided up by distance, parts of the county, how, you know, if it's a 65-mile ride and you haven't been on your bike in 3 years, I wouldn't suggest doing that one. You may want to go out and do the 10-mile route, which is flatter and just a little bit more at your ability level. So that's why we divided up the routes and gave a great deal of information to go with each and every route that we did.
Hey, Carl, another right-of-way question for you. One of the things that I did enjoy a great deal when my three daughters were young is the four of us would go biking. And there's a park near us called White Oak Park. Mm-hmm. And it's actually in Branchburg. And I live a few, like a quarter mile from there. So we would go over to White Oak and we would be riding. And they have a path, which I used to call a towpath, T-O-E, to pull a full circle. Anyway, the path goes through the park. Invariably, we would be, you know, 5 minutes into the ride, and somebody would be coming down the path, pushing a baby carriage, and see us on bikes look as if to say, well, you've got to go around me, I have a baby carriage, where it's hard to get off the path, especially in the spring when the ground is soft, and then you got to get back on, and I got kids on a bike. So is there a rule for that? I mean, it's real easy for the baby carriage to just pull aside and come back on, and they never did. They would never do it.
Well, in truth, bicyclists must yield to pedestrians.
One of the things I wanted to talk about...
That's black letter law for you.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to talk about was bike etiquette.
Yes.
And can you elaborate on that? I routinely travel Lindale Road and Lindbergh Road, which are major bike paths, major bike routes, particularly in the summer. And I can be on those roads at 6 a.m., either to go to court or to go down to the shore to my boat. And what happens is there are 20 or 30 bikers, and I noticed that you slow down, you approach them, you're doing 20 miles an hour. Hopefully they're all going to get into a single file so you can get past them. But what are the kinds of things you teach bikers as far as road etiquette?
That's so it's very important that cyclists pay attention to the rules of the road. If there's a motorist coming and you're three across, not so good. You want to pull into a single file. You can ride two across. That's really acceptable. But as soon as you hear a motorist behind you, you really should get into single file formation. That's what we teach in the schools. It's what we teach adults. That's just the correct, proper etiquette. In truth, you know, a cyclist is not going to win against a motorist. I personally would like to live to ride the next time. I like to ride single file. I like to ride as far to the right as possible, which is the correct thing to do. That being said, if there's something on the road, I may have to signal that I'm taking the road because it's not safe for me.
Right. One of the concerns that I have and I see so often is and it's usually young men who are riding very late at night. They're obviously riding their bike because they don't have a license. There's, you know, you can barely see them. They're often in dark clothes. There's nothing at all. I don't know how someone can get the word out there. They're usually coming, obviously, from restaurants, that they're working at restaurants here. I don't know if there's anything that your organization can do, but this is a dangerous situation. There have been some, I know there was one young man killed in Morris County, I don't understand, why, I'd like to stop sometime and shake him and say, hey, look, you've got to get a light, you've got to get something, because it is almost impossible to see them.
I would certainly agree with you. I mean, we have done a tremendous amount of outreach to the community. We've in the past, we've offered reflective tape for their bikes and clothes. We do a helmet exchange and a helmet giveaway that have reflectors in the back, and some of them even have lights. You know, people have to make the choice that they use these things, but we do a tremendous amount of outreach to the community.
Well, that's terrific, because it seems to me that sometimes they must not understand how difficult or impossible it is to see them riding. And it is late at night. They're probably tired. You know, most of us who are driving at that time of night are very tired. And so whatever we can do and whatever you can do to promote bike safety, great. And I think we're going to have to get off in about 1 minute.
We're almost done, but I have two last questions. First of all, because I travel Linvale a lot, I know it's shared by a lot of horse riders.
Yes.
What are the rules when you approach a horse, or when you're being approached by someone on horseback and you're on a bike?
My understanding is when you're dealing with a horse that you want to make eye contact with the person on the horse. They typically will be the ones to kind of give you the heads up if you need to stop. Most of the time, if you just stay on the right-hand side of the road, because they're going to be on the right side coming in the other direction, just keep going. You should be talking. You should say hello to the person on the horse so that the horse is not startled. You need to have like a little conversation with the person on the horse.
I see. I wanted to ask you to tell our listeners how to get in touch with you.
That's impossible, because they would want to text the horse. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's a little
bit. I wanted to find out, how do we get in touch with BikeHunted.org? How do we find you folks, and get more info if we're interested?
Just please go to our website. You can either go to gohunterton.org or bikehunterton.org, and that will take you directly to all things bicycling on the Go Hunterton website.
That's well, listen, wonderful. Carol, we're really out of time. I want to thank you from all of us.
Thank you very much.
And, thank you for having me.
We're going to be cut off. So next week we'll maybe talk football.
Free agency has been pretty good. We'll see.
Well folks, let's get up off those.
My team didn't get Antonio Brown.
And, have a good weekend.
I was going to be tearful about the fact that they didn't get Antonio Brown. But Carol is looking at me like, is she nuts?
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump has vetoed congressional rejection of his border emergency declaration.
Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it, and I'm very proud to veto it.
It was his first presidential veto. The Senate joined the House this week by passing a resolution of disapproval. The president notes some of the irony regarding the votes in the House and Senate.
The only emergency Congress voted to revoke was the one to protect our own country. So think of that. With all of the national emergencies, this was the one they don't want to do.
The Florida man accused of mailing explosive devices to top Democrats and other Trump critics is expected to enter a guilty plea. Court documents show Cesar Sayoc Jr. will enter the plea at a March 21st hearing in Manhattan. The Dow was up 139 points on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information,
things that we can do, like laundry and light housekeeping and transportation and cleaning litter boxes and, you know, anything that goes on in the home, mm-hmm. except washing windows, mm-hmm. painting the garage, mm-hmm. Things like heavy duty, we do not do. But everything that